health issues as well. So what started me down this road of thinking this morning what to teach on, a couple of things. One of them, we have got some guys in the church that are family nurse practitioners. And a while back, Brother Daniel preached a sermon. He's talking about faith. You remember the fellow that had infirmity, and the four guys brought him and led him down through the roof of the building where Jesus was at, brought him to Jesus. And basically, you know, we all need to be practitioners, if you will, bringing people to Jesus, don't we? But Steve, in talking through his lessons, was talking about AD 70, when the Roman general Titus besieged Jerusalem. Y'all remember him talking about that? And so I did a little research. I've got a book a guy gave me a long time ago. The title of it is Josephus. And this is a lot of biblical history in here. Apparently, Josephus was a priest when the Romans besieged Jerusalem, and I think he was taken captive and really basically defected to the Romans. And he tried to get the Jews, I think, to give up, and they didn't. So long story short, they wound up destroying Jerusalem, just as Jesus said was going to happen. And what I found interesting, if you start doing a study on the blood like I'm going to try to do this morning, was there's a section in here by Josephus that says when they basically destroyed Jerusalem, they carried away 97,000 captives. But they killed 1,100,000 people. Over 1 million people were killed. I understand there were about 30,000 Roman soldiers. They came to besiege Jerusalem and built a wall around the city where people couldn't get in and out. And many of them starved to death, and they just threw them over the wall to get them out of the city. But then when the Romans eventually got in there, they just slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people. And what I found interesting about that, when they did this, was in the month of April. You know what happens in the month of April? That's the Passover. The reason there were so many people in Jerusalem at that time was that there were people from all around surrounding countries came to Jerusalem, so they got caught up into that, and many of them died as a result of it. So I thought that was of interest there. So what it tells you is Jesus foresaw what was going to happen. He's a Passover lamb. They destroyed Jerusalem. And as you'll see here shortly, when he was crucified, that was around that same time of the year as well. So anyway, that book's too thick, got too much small print in it, tried to read the whole thing, but at least I found a piece and parts out of it could use. Okay. The Bible says that we are sinners. You know, we're contaminated. I can't look out there at everybody and see if you got some kind of bug or not. But we all know we're sinners, right? And just in the Old Testament, when they had the Passover, when they had the over in Egypt, where the death angel came through and saw the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, said, "I will pass over you." Just as God provided a way there in the Old Testament, He's provided a way through shedding His blood that we can have eternal life in heaven with Him as well. We can all be sick, not even know it. And a lot of people find out they got some kind of dreaded disease, don't live very long, some go through treatments. But we've all got the sin issue to deal with. Many of you probably remember this. I just put this together several years ago. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Back in 1991, AIDS and HIV was the thing that was going on. People were dying, had no cure. You don't hear much about it anymore, do you? But OSHA, y'all know what OSHA is? It stands for Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Most of my working career was dealing with safety issues and OSHA standards. And they came out with this OSHA standard called bloodborne pathogens. And that was because of people getting AIDS and HIV and those type of things. And this was primarily for hospitals, people who worked in hospitals, doctors, nurses, EMTs, and anybody that could be exposed to bloodborne pathogens or disease-causing materials. So during that time, everybody was scared to death about it. So I put together a booklet here for the church and the bus workers, because you never know on the bus what's going to happen. Is a kid going to hurt themselves? They're going to get sick? You're going to be exposed to something? You don't know what you're being exposed to? So this talks about general precautions and things of that nature. The difference at the time, would you give an example? Why did OSHA come about? Well, it came about 1970 or so, because people were dying due to occupational accidents. So OSHA's got a whole bunch of standards, got several books of standards. We got general industry standards, construction standards. But they've got a whole book on exposure to different types of chemicals as well, like different solvents like benzene, which is in gasoline, which is a carcinogen, a cancer causing agent. Toluene, which is in glue. People like to sniff toluene to get high on it, stuff like that. There's exposure limits on that. There's one on asbestos, because back in World War II, people used asbestos for insulating material, you know, a lot of it in the shipbuilding industry in World War II. And people would be exposed to the asbestos, didn't think about it, because of mineral fiber. Well, the problem with that, they learned 30 or 40 years down the road, people were getting lung cancer and dying from asbestosis, they called it. So as much as you might hate OSHA and some of the things they do, it was started for a purpose of saving lives, really. So, you know, they've got standards on confined space entry. You've heard about people dying in grain silos, getting overcome from lack of oxygen, and things of that nature. But the difference in this environment here about 30 plus years ago was when OSHA came out with this standard, it was for a specific group of people, and it offered an inoculation for those people. And notice that it offered. There was a form they could sign, they could decline it if they didn't want to take the shot. Well, you see where the government has gone over the last 30 years. Now they want to make you do everything. So, and they've got a lot of power now. So if you don't do what they say, depending on what kind of job you have, you could lose your job and whatever. So they got a lot more control on you. But I won't get all of the things about OSHA, but I had to deal with them out in Arkansas where they show up at the front of the administration building near saying, "I'm from OSHA and I'm here to help you." You've heard that before, haven't you? So they just show up out of the clear blue. And unfortunately for us, the guy that showed up was a young industrial hygienist that didn't know what we did. So we pretty much educated him for about 3 days and whatever. So he was a lot more informed when he left. But they're always looking for something. But it definitely can be a help. Hope you got this, your Bible this morning, and I'm going to flip around a lot of places, and I know that's sort of aggravating to do, but I can't do a whole lot without this. So I like to refer to a lot of verses. Some people are extroverts, and some people are introverts. You know the difference. The extroverts like to talk all the time. They like to hear themselves talk. I'm not one of those. It scares me to death. You ever heard yourself on a tape or on the phone? I sound like a combination of a hick from North Carolina, East Tennessee, and whatever else. And so, you know, it sort of scares me to hear myself on those type of things. But I want to talk a little bit about the blood this morning. And if you look in the Bible, from the beginning to the end, it talks about the blood. You know that? All through there. I'm going to show you a lot of verses on that. But, of course, when you get over to in Genesis, when you talk about Adam and Eve, that's sort of, you think that's where it starts. But it's really not. It goes back before that. So I've got a verse. Over in Revelation 13, verse 8. And this is talking about the Antichrist, but this verse says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." It's talking about the Antichrist. But it talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God planned this from the foundation of the world, the death of Christ. So as you go over and start looking through some of these different verses here, you'll see where the blood is involved here. So if you turn with me this morning, I'm just going to start and I'm going to go through some different sections of the Bible and read those to you this morning. Over in Genesis, of course you know the story of Adam and Eve and sinning in the Garden of Eden. And over Genesis 3:21, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them." So there's a first example in the Old Testament here of God killing animals to provide clothing for Adam and Eve. And going a little bit further, just right across the page there, and it talks about, next comes along is Cain and Abel, where the blood is involved here. It says, "And Abel," this is 4:4, chapter 4, verse 4. "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." See, God, through Abel there, understood that a sacrifice needed to be involved, and God accepted his sacrifice and not Cain's. And as a result, Cain killed Abel over that. Going a little further over here into Genesis chapter 22. Talks about Abraham and Isaac and the offering of Isaac. So Abraham goes out here to basically sacrifice his son. And this verse here in chapter 22:8 says, "Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." So God provided, as you know, just as he was about to be killed by his father, the angel stayed his hand there. and then what happened? He provided a lamb, didn't he? It said a ram was caught in the thicket there and provided a sin offering there, or to take the place of his son for that. Go a little bit further over into Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, 18 and 19 talks about Rahab. When the Israelites came to Jericho, they sent spies into there, and Rahab, the harlot, is the one that hid the spies. You recall that story. So How was she protected when they wound up defeating Jericho? He told her to hang a scarlet thread in the window, right? Signifying the blood, so that they would not kill them during that. So, as you can see, there's constantly just on and on and on reference to the blood in the Bible. So, let me look here. As you start reading and doing some research about the blood, you know, there's some religion that basically say when you partake of the Lord's Supper, it talks about, you know, when we take the Lord's Supper here, we have the juice and the bread to commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some religions say that that actually turns into the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, we know that that's not true. Well, how do you know that? Well, in the Old Testament, it forbids that. The Old Testament, there's some verses in Leviticus. I guess the people back then would not like to go to Outback or whatever, get a steak. It would be too rare maybe because the blood in there. But they were not supposed to eat blood. So why in the world would you come along in the Lord's Supper when you're talking about the Passover and saying that he's partaking of the blood of Jesus Christ? And when Jesus said, take of the cup, this is my blood of the New Testament. Well, you got to read the rest of the verse. He says, which is shed for you. And then he goes on to say, this is the last time that I'll partake of the fruit of the vine. Okay? The fruit of the vine is not blood, is it? Okay? So you see how people can get all mixed up and try to portray things that are not actually true. You need to go back to the Bible and see what that says and follow through with that. But there's a lot of verses there that you can refer to there. Jesus explained that literally drinking his blood was not at all what he had in mind when he spoke to his disciples. He told them they had to believe in him and his words. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. Over in Exodus 12, another interesting piece of data here that I found interesting as well. Exodus chapter 12. This goes back to the Passover when Israelites were in Egypt. It said, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And if you look at your notes, it says that's April. That's the month of Abib. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of the souls. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. It's talking about the Passover. You see the 10th of the month, the 14th of the month when they kill the Passover, and then take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses, so that the death angel would not kill the people in those houses. Now, over in Matthew, if I can find that right quick. Matthew chapter 15. On the 10th day of the month, that was the day when Jesus entered the temple in Jerusalem. It says on the 14th day of the month, they were to kill the Passover in the afternoon, in the evening, or 3 o'clock would be in the afternoon, the beginning of the evening watch. Now in Matthew 27, let's see if I can find that for you right quick here. Matthew 27, if you look at verse 45, this right here sort of make the hair stand on the back of your neck. It says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In verse 50, it says, Jesus, when he had cried unto, again, with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So Jesus died at a particular time. So you see in the Old Testament, in Egypt, it talks about the Passover lamb that was killed on the 14th day of the month. When did Jesus die on the cross? On the 14th day of the month. Folks, God had this planned out all along. So you can see, going from Revelation, it was planned from the foundation of the world, and you can see hundreds of years later how God fulfilled exactly what he said he was going to do. So, is that a blessing or not? It is to me. It is to me. Okay. As Paul Harvey says, page 2. Some of you remember Paul Harvey, don't you? Everybody in here is probably old enough to remember Paul Harvey. Okay. All right. All right here. Now what does Jesus' blood do for us? Well, it does several things. And I'm going to share a few of these here. So don't get too worried about me going too long, because I normally run out of stuff to say before the bell rings. So but Jesus shedding his blood did a lot of things for us. Not only did it provide a way of salvation for us, but the first thing here, it says it brings us into fellowship with God. So go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to read just a little bit more before we get to that. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. So his blood brings us into fellowship with Christ where we did not have that before. It goes on to say, a little bit further here, said, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So first thing, he brings us into fellowship with him. Go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. His blood makes peace with God. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven. So we have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ as well. Another thing that his blood does for us, his blood cleanses. So turn over to 1 John. Of course, most of us are familiar with the first, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But a little bit prior to that, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So his blood cleanses us as well. It also gives power over the devil. Revelation 12:11 talks about that a little bit. And that was the verse that I mentioned previously about in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that shows a victory over the Antichrist there in that particular case. Okay. So the blood is important from the New Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And do you ever go on the internet and look see what other people said about salvation and things of that nature? And we talk about how a person gets saved. Well, there's always some people on there that condemn whoever it is, you know. They'll have something to say against the Baptist. They'll have something to say against somebody else. And when you go out on visitation, you try to talk to people about the Lord, then typically we use the Romans Road, right, Brother Danny? We've done that for years. Some people even take issue with that. And they'll say, well, you don't say anything about the blood. Yeah. Well, they, number one, I'll say, whether they say it or not, it's in there. Number two, it works, right? And turn over to Romans chapter 5. Some people use this verse and sometimes they don't. It depends on who you're talking to a lot of times. But it says here in Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now that man they're talking about there is Adam. Adam sinned in the garden. It's one man sin entered into the world. So, verse 14, it said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after this similitude of Adam's transgression. But right across from there, it says, 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I like to use that verse to show that Jesus died for us, right? But verse 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we're justified by the blood that he shed on the cross for us. So that Romans Road does have a direct tie into that as well. If you go over to Romans chapter 10, of course, most people are very familiar with these verses. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, if he raised him from the dead, he had to die, didn't he? So how did he die? He died on the cross. He shed his blood, right? So it's in there, isn't it? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God blesses his word. I was a little reluctant to share this with you, but I'd like to do that this morning. We're all supposed to be soul winners, right? How many of us are very good at it? Well, number one, I'm not. And why is that? Is it because I don't know how? No, I know how. Been doing it for 40 plus years, I guess. Holy Spirit ever deal with you, talk to somebody, and then you miss the opportunity, you procrastinate, you're afraid to say something. All been there, I would think, in most cases. I remember years ago when I first started coming to church here, Preacher Lasley told me all this stuff that I was supposed to do. I take off out to Arkansas, I want to get out there and start doing some of the things he said I need to do. And one of them was talking to people about the Lord around a bus route, whatever. We'd go out, knock on doors, scared to death. And so I was out there one night, knocking on a door. Person came to the door. And I said, well, my name is Joe Shaw, and I'm from, at that time, it was called Landmark Baptist Church. And I said, and this guy over here is, his name is, and I said, tell him what your name is. So, you ever been there and done that? Forget things like that? I'm telling on myself now, aren't I? Well, get around to my story here. We had Bible school here just a couple of weeks ago. One of the greatest privileges I've ever had coming to this church is dealing with young people as a counselor with Brother Butch, some other people back here in the chapel, young people coming in there won't know how to go to heaven. If you don't think that's a privilege, a lot of these people don't have any hope. You know that, don't you? You pick up these kids, they come from broken homes, you don't know what they're going through. One little boy came in there. He had never got through his grandmother passing away, so that was really bothering him, you know, some things you get into. But generally, most of the ones that come in there, they're wanting to know how to know Jesus as their Savior. So that's a privilege to do that, so that was a blessing. But I had a situation happen here back about a month and a half ago. Got up one morning, it was on Thursday morning, looked out in the backyard, great old big black gum tree back there on the corner of my lot. That thing was laying over like that. It fell over in the middle of the night and landed in the neighbor's tree. Oh my, I got a mess now. Great old big tree. And the neighbor's electrical lines to his house, his cable, his telephone, and all went right under where those two went over. So talked to the neighbor, called the insurance people. They said, well, you don't have a claim. He doesn't have a claim. It hadn't tore up anything yet, so got nowhere with that. He said, if it falls on down, tear stuff up, he can file a claim, but, you know, this kind of stuff. You know how it is with insurance. So I called this guy, you know, that does tree removal, and said, could you come out and tell me, hey, get rid of this thing, get it off, make not tear his lines up and all. He said, yeah, I can come out here and do that for you. I can get that out of there for $6,850. Man, get rid of a tree? I can't handle that. So next thing you do, you call option number two. So we got this other guy come out, and he said, well, I can do it too, but you got to get all those lines removed, because if I start cutting limbs, throw them down, hit a line, you know, then I'll be responsible for it. So you got to remove all those. He said, if you do that, he said, I'll do it for $2,700. Well, that's still a bunch of money, but that's a long way from $6,800. So they're moving in the right direction. So got up on Friday morning. We told the guy, I said, well, the neighbor here, he's got to see if he can get a hold of all these people to get these lines down. And then once he does that, we'll call you back and see if we can make arrangements to get that done. We got up on Friday morning, and wife looked out the back door, and she said, guess what? I said, what? She said, the tree's on the ground. That tree fell all the way down to the ground, across the lines. Didn't break one of them. It broke the pole, the power pole, down in the ground. But it didn't fall over. It was just an angle like that. The cable from there to this guy's house, fortunately, the pipe in his house was strong. So anyway, here we got the tree on the ground now. But we got to get it taken care of. So long story short, there's a couple of guys came out there to saw this thing up. One of them was can climb trees and all that. So this one guy, he was leaning against the truck. He had one of the big old yellow trucks. You've seen them with the bucket on it and all that kind of stuff. So I felt like the Lord would lead me to talk to this guy. And fortunately, this is one time that I listened and followed through what the Lord asked me to do. So I go up to this guy, and I said, man, this stuff y'all are doing here looks like it's pretty dangerous, isn't it? He said, yeah, it is. I said, I got wisdom, but he got off on another tangent. He got caught between a truck and a car when he was jumping one off and about broke his leg, and he was still hobbling around on that. He was telling me all this stuff. I said, you ever thought about what happened to you if you got killed out here doing this dangerous work? He said, yeah, I go straight to hell. And I said, well, you don't have to. I said, God provided ways that you don't have to go there. Would you like to know how you can go to heaven? He said, yeah, I would. I said, hold on. I ran up to the house, got my Bible, came down there and talked to him. Used these same verses. Guess what? Right there beside the yellow truck in my yard, he asked the Lord to save him. While I was talking to him, the neighbor lady over there, were talking to his brother. His brother was the tree climber. And this guy had fallen out of a tree several years ago. He said he fell 57 feet, broke his back, had scars up his back, and all this kind of stuff. Well, the neighbor had already primed him before I ever talked to him. So he came down there, and I said, guess what your brother just did? He said, what's that? I said, he just asked the Lord to save him. I said, isn't that good? He said, yeah, it is. I said, would you like to know? He said, yeah, I would. Got to lead his brother to the Lord. Return truck. Now, folks, I get ashamed of myself. I'm not sharing the word of God like I ought to at times. But all I can say is, I guess the Lord took that tree down for a reason, didn't he? And these two people know how to go to heaven now because of it, okay? Didn't cost me $6,800 either, so that's another good byproduct of it. But I hope this has been a help to you today. The blood is important. It's all through the Bible. So you get an opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity that the Lord gives you to share that with other people. God will bless you for it. Thank y'all. Appreciate your time today.